Hey, boys and girls, I know it has been a while. Do not get mad at me and charge it to my heart and my head. I am so sorry. It's been a while. I know. Life gets in the way. Just been working on a lot of things. You guys know that I'm a screenwriter and filmmaker, and you know, and I work just like everybody else, you know. And so just been doing my thing, working on my web series Blurreds, which we hope to have out by August, late August of this year. Working on a few script projects that I'm just getting finished, and just trying to live life, man. So I'm gonna be back, definitely. I'm just gonna do a quick episode tonight, and again, I'm so sorry, you know, not making a bunch of excuses, but just hey, just been out of the loop for a little bit, and so we're trying to get back in the swing of things. All right. So, unless you've been living on a rock in nerd spheres, X-Men Dark Phoenix. Let's talk about that for a hot second. Not so much of a review or a rant on it. I'm just going to discuss it for a second. Yeah, it was trash. I didn't like it. No, sir, didn't like it. Didn't think it was a good movie at all. No, I'll take that back. It had a bright spot or two. But it wasn't that great. This is the last in the series of Fox's X-Men series, and frankly, good riddance. You know, I really feel that this was a missed opportunity. I think that they really could have done something great and something epic with this film, but I think because everything is reverting back to Marvel, or has reverted back to Marvel, that I don't think a lot of emphasis was put on the script of this film. You can definitely see the effects on the screen. You can definitely see that, you know, the money was put, you know, to good use as far as the aesthetics, as far as the look of the film. But if we're going to just be talking about the story and the script and dialogue, everything, I wasn't that great. I mean, they had everything they needed. I mean, they had great actors. You got James McAvoy, Sophie Turner, Michael Fassbender. They brought in Jessica Chastain to play, I guess, the villain. Very underused there. I'm really not really clear what her purpose was in the movie, but okay. And, you know, I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me. If anybody's familiar with the Phoenix story, I mean, it's an epic story. And I dare to say that I can say that the X-Men Last Stand Phoenix version, while that was trash too, was way better than this one. You know, so we just got a lot of exposition, a lot of talking, a few action scenes that seemed a little, you know, thrown together, a plot that just really didn't make any damn sense. And, you know, with good actors who know better. I felt bad for them, actually. You know, there's a lot of talented people on the screen, and they just were given something to work with that just didn't work. So, again, I'm not even really getting into the nuts and bolts of the film, but I just didn't feel like, you know, it was something that was a worthy send-off to everything they had built with the X-Men franchise. And the most disappointing part of it is that you had a film like Days of Future Past, which basically reset the whole X-Men timeline. Everything that had been done, every film that you didn't like, all the shit that they made that you might not have liked from, you know, from X-Men Last Stand going forward, it's all done. It's all reset. So they basically had a blank slate to make whatever film that they wanted to make an epic film to send off this franchise before it left. And I just feel like, you know, with the politics and everything that were going on with the mergers and all that, I just felt that somebody dropped the ball. And it was horrible. It was just a horrible thing. Again, the only bright spots is that, you know, yeah, you had some good performances. Again, McAvoy, Turner, Fassbender, they were there, you know, but it just kind of felt like they were kind of going through the numbers. You know, they were on the screen, and it just really wasn't a great film. To watch it was kind of embarrassing to watch it. It felt like, you know, the WB series version of an X-Men film. Now, I have to give it to them. There was a scene close to the end, and we had to wait damn near 10 minutes almost before the film was over with. But it was a scene on the train. It was a train scene, which had some pretty good action. It has really good action, but actually pretty violent and pretty gruesome action, which gave me another thought. I was like, okay, well, we had Logan, which was, you know, a hard R, violent X-Men film, which, you know, brought that character to a fitting end. I mean, they kind of walked the line in this film. This is probably one of the most violent X-Men films. I mean, you had Nightcrawler's tail going through somebody's throat, and it was spoilers if you guys haven't seen the movie yet. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry. I should have said that at the beginning. If you haven't seen the film, you know, I'm going to talk about things that happened in the film. You had Nightcrawler's tail going through somebody's throat. You had Magneto impaling people with metal and all kind of shit, man. There was an F-bomb dropped. Scott dropped an F-bomb. I was like, well, shit. I mean, you guys could have, like, upped the ante a little bit. You could have made a hard R X-Men film. I mean, that isn't out of the realm of possibility, and I think it probably would have been a better film. I mean, make it an R film. And I'm not saying make an R film just to be doing something. I mean, really make an R-rated film that would have been a worthy send-off. You know, make a film that is violent. And because, I mean, if you have people with these types of powers, that's what you're going to get. You know, I mean, there's not going to be PG-13 violence with somebody that has the abilities that they have. And I always thought that was something that they should have always thrown in there, especially with the Logan character. And they finally got it right with the last two films, you know, the Wolverine and the Logan film. I think they got it right with those last two films, because the first one was, oh my God, that was the worst. But yeah, X-Men Dark Phoenix, just a muddled story, horrible villain choice, good actress, but horrible villain choice, just a whack story, just didn't work. I feel bad for the actors. I wish it would have got a better send-off, but again, good riddance. You know, hopefully Marvel will do something a lot better. I hope they don't rush back into doing mutants or anything like that. I think with the advent of the multiverse that the MCU has been introduced to, I think that opens up a lot of possibilities for not only mutants, but for, you know, just a lot of characters to come to the forefront that we haven't seen before. And so, again, good riddance, and I hope Marvel does better with it. I don't know if you guys have been watching the news, or I turned on the news yesterday, and I was looking at a few things online, and apparently Justin Bieber has challenged Tom Cruise to a cage fight or MMA fight. If I'm not tripping on that, that's so I thought that was funny. I really thought that was funny. I was like, Justin Bieber, the internet sensation, you know, ambiguous looking kid with the hair, and you know, he got a little couple tattoos. Now he's taking a couple boxing classes down, you know, at the Beverly Hills Y, and I saw, you know, he put on a couple of muscles and everything. So now he wants to challenge Thomas Mopather Cruz IV to a fight. Now, I've told you in previous episodes that Thomas J. Mopather IV has a death wish. He wants to die. Justin, you want no parts of that, sir. Thomas overcommits. I know he's not going to dignify this with an answer. He probably isn't even going to respond to Justin Bieber. I don't even think that he's even in the same stratosphere as Justin Bieber or anybody that he even knows. But Justin, you're talking about an overcommitter. If Tom did take that fight with you, know that he will spend every waking moment training to beat your ass. He will pound you. He will train with the best. He will fly to Tibet. He will fly to the Kung Fu monks of Shaolin and train with them. No, money is no object. This man will overtrain to beat your ass. You don't want no parts of them almost 57-year-old L. Ron Hubbard hooks. You don't want no parts of that. Justin, don't do this to yourself. Don't do any of this to yourself. You young, I know you impulsive, you impetuous. I know this is a big thing for you. I know you're probably getting a goof and a laugh and everything else like that. But again, you're talking to an overcommitter. An overcommitter. Like I said in previous episodes about Thomas, he wants to die. And he'll die first before he lets you beat him up. So don't do this to yourself, man. Don't play yourself. Call it off. Say you were playing. Say you were joking. Because if this gets back to Tom Cruise and he really takes you serious, you're going to die. He's going to kill you. I put that on L. Ron. Okay, and just to wrap things up tonight, I'm going to touch on something real quick. And I'm going to say something that, I don't know, some people might find unpopular. I don't know, because I run in a lot of circles with black creatives, and I'm a black creative myself. And something I've been working on lately is a black superhero project. I just finished a pilot, writing a pilot, a black superhero pilot. And I get a little frustrated sometimes, because a lot of us black people and people of color, we enjoy genre films. And again, when I say genre, for those that aren't initiated, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, we enjoy those films as people of color. But on the creative side of the game, not a lot of us are investing our talents in making these types of films and television shows. And I'm miffed by that. I don't get it. And I've had these discussions ad nauseum with some of my friends who are creative. And you know, I hear the same things that they range from, the proverbial they aren't going to let us make those types of films. But then, you know, we got Black Panther, and then we got Black Lightning, and then we got, you know, other things that are coming down the pipe. So the proverbial they, that's bullshit. Then I hear the other excuse. Well, I mean, we're trying to talk about the reality of what's going on in the diaspora. Which, again, I get that. But that's the thing about genre film. And I've talked about this, you know, in other episodes. I've talked about this in my Woke Fi episode, which is available also on all your podcasting platforms. The episode of Woke Fi. I talked about that. The thing about genre films historically is that genre films have always been socially conscious. If you've been paying attention, genre films, you know, whether it's sci-fi, horror, fantasy, they've always been socially conscious. All of them. Not all of them, but most of them. Most are really good ones. If you look at films by David Cronenberg, John Carpenter, guys like that, Neil Blomkamp. Those guys have always infused a little social commentary into all of their films. Wes Craven. If you saw Candyman, Candyman was a huge social commentary, which Jordan Peele is remaking, by the way. And I'm quite sure, knowing Jordan, that he'll definitely do that and probably up the ante more with this reboot. Black superheroes matter, guys. They matter. In the whole lexicon of superherodom out there, they matter. We always need to see ourselves represented in these genres. The things that we go spend our money on, that we sit around and talk about in our groups, in our chat rooms and podcasts and all of that. We talk about these films and these TV shows and comic books and all of this thing that in this nerd thing that we do. But on the creative side of the game, it's like a lot of us just simply do not want to invest our time and talents into creating new and innovative characters to last. It seems like we want to make somebody else, take somebody else's character and make it black, which, you know, that's another discussion altogether. We can talk about that another time. I get it. I understand that you guys, you know, a lot of you guys want to see a black Superman or a black Batman or a black, you know, whatever. But how about, here's a kooky idea. How about creating new characters? A narrative that we control as people of color. A narrative that we can infuse the social commentary that we want to see in those characters. Why can't we talk about injustice? Why can't we talk about Flint water crisis? Why can't we talk about crime? Whether you say it's crime in the black community or crime in the Hispanic community, police brutality, all of that. Why can't we talk about drug use, drug abuse? Why can't we talk about those things in our genre films and TV shows and comic books? Black superheroes matter. And I know to some of you guys, you know, that aren't comic book guys, that aren't, you know, necessarily those types of writers or those types of content creators. Think heavily on it, though. Really think about it. If you have the means, if you have the capital to put money behind one, you may not be a writer. You may not be able to write at that level. But if you know somebody that can and you have the capital to put behind a project, whether it's a web series or a comic book or anything, do that. You don't always have to be out in the forefront. You can be the executive producer, be the EP. Be the financier of a graphic novel. You know, donate to a crowdfund of somebody who's doing something that you want to see. If you can't do it yourself, help out the people that are trying to do it. You feel me? Black superheroes matter. Superheroes of color matter. People want to see themselves represented. Okay, whether they're in the diaspora, whether they're Hispanic, whether they're Native American, whether they're part of the LGBTQ community, whatever. People want to see themselves represented. And we can't sit around and wait on somebody else to write our narratives for us. So I'm just going to step off my soapbox and I'm going to end this little short episode. And again, I apologize that I've taken so long to come back. I'm going to do my very best to keep on making episodes, but I just wanted to drop in and do a little quick one for you guys tonight. Again, I am working on a web series, Blurreds. It'll hopefully be out by August of this year, this summer. For more information, you can go to blurredswebseries.com. That's B-L-E-R-D-S webseries.com. If you have any suggestions or if you want to be a guest or if you have a topic you want to talk about, you can also reach me at blurredswebseries@gmail.com. That's again, blurredswebseries@gmail.com. You can reach me, Hank Bird, in social media. I'm everywhere. So until next week, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in.